You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Sierra Blanca. But anyhow, we have got more helps in this town than all those cities I mentioned. You can find somebody. Where's Brother Doug? There you are. This guy, this is the only guy I know where you can get a shower and a real haircut, not a jailhouse barber, but a licensed barber. This week, this guy can show you how to do that. Now, I don't know of another town in the state of Texas where you can do that. But there's helps here for somebody, and we, one of the things we kind of do at the rec room, if we can't help you, we know somebody that can, or we know somebody that knows somebody that can. And it's amazing, Odessa does have that kind of help. So we're here for that purpose, and we want to help. So let us know. Also, this church sponsors breakfast every Saturday morning, and they will be having breakfast here at 9 o'clock. So let me remind you, those of that, that there will be breakfast. We got a special treat tonight. Is Dolores going to come and sing for us? And thank you for being here. We got, I started to say we had a good crowd, but let me restate it, we have a larger crowd. Yeah. Come on, huh?
We can say they've been good so far tonight. Dolores is one of our church members here, sings for us a lot doing specials, and also in our class on Sunday morning, which Brother Leland happens to be the teacher of, and he is really a great teacher, Bible teacher, as well as a preacher. So with that, Miss Dolores, you're up.
Thank you.
in your Bibles, if you would, to the... Let's just start with the book of James. And if you don't have a Bible, and would like to... If you lift it, we'll get you one. Got some guys around. We live in a unique time. The young people today, and everybody I know is young people. Not many people my age anymore. But we live in a unique time because there's gods everywhere. And James said this, and you may want to mark this in your Bible, James chapter 2, verse 19. He said, "Thou believest that thou hast one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So if you come in there tonight and say, "Brother, I really believe in God," I'm going to say, "So what? So the devils." And they're scared of him. They tremble. So just to believe in God, there's a lot of gods. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the God of the Bible. And the God of the Bible is like no other gods and other religions and this type of thing. Psalms 139 is where we're going to go with that. There's 20-something verses in this chapter, 24. We're not going to read them all. We're going to deal with some of them, but I wish you would read the whole chapter because it tells us a lot about God. And let me say this, as you read your Bible, if you read your Bible, and sometimes people say, God is, I understand him. Well, it doesn't make any difference how you and I understand him. God's who he is. And everybody in here has met somebody that you really like after you got to know them. That kind of faded. You also met people you didn't like, and after you got to know them, they're pretty good people. And they're not the ones that changed. You and I learned more about them. In my life, I thought God was a cop. I thought he was a federal judge. Then at times I thought he's an old grandpa. Let the grandkids do what they wanted to do. But if you want to learn about God, you got to go to his book. He did leave us, God did leave us a manual of living. It's called the Bible. And people kind of chide me sometime. Let me say what I was going to say about a God who hates nothing, injures nothing, kills nothing, destroys nothing, and rejects nothing is not in the Bible. You're going to find he is pretty active God doing some very extreme things. God is an extremist, I can tell you that. And I was talking tonight before I started with one of my friends and one of the folks that helps us here, and as I sat down here and we sang, I always wish somebody else was speaking. And then when we have a speaker and I'm sitting down here, I always wish I was speaking. This is what's kind of interesting. I want you just to think about where we are and what we're doing a little bit, and just don't pass it off because we had refreshments. This group of people will never be the same again as far as the same group. This crowd will never get together again. Think about that. This is a one-time thing. Next week, if you're back, somebody won't be. Also, there'll be somebody new. And it's such a responsibility. There's a whole bunch of things we do at the rec room, but the truth of the matter is, they're not worth much. If we help you get a job, that's good. But if we don't, that's not going to send you to hell. If we can help you with some medication, if we can put you on a bicycle because you're not allowed to drive, if we can introduce you to somebody that would really help you, those things are good, and I hope we can. But if we don't, that's not going to send you to hell. But if I don't tell you the truth, while you're in Psalms 139, just hold your finger there for a minute and go to the book of Ezekiel. But because sometimes people ask, Leland, why are you still doing this? When are you going to retire? When are you going to quit? And I can honestly tell you tonight that I don't have anything I need to do. I don't have any places I need to see. I don't have a cruise I need to go on. If Jesus should come tonight, I'm not going to stand there. One of the songs I hate, there's an old song I just hated. There's two songs that I pretty well dislike. One of them is Wait a Little Longer, Please Jesus. Now, the Bible is right opposite that. John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus, get me out of this. So I don't like. And then there's another one, that mansion in the corner. I don't care if I'm not a mansion or not, but don't put me in the corner. I want to be out there where it's happening, man. You know, I want to see it. I got a bunch of questions and I get to heaven. So I want to be in that. I don't want a corner in glory land type of deal. So, but in Ezekiel chapter 3, in talking to Ezekiel, God told him something that has, from the first time I read this, this has kind of worked on me. It's kind of dealt with me. Verse 17, Ezekiel 3:17. And this is what God told Ezekiel. He said, Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word that is in my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. And this is the little phrase that got me, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from the wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. I know that every Thursday night there'll be somebody new that I'm going to get to tell about Jesus Christ. And it may be the last time. None of us, not anybody in here, plans on being the next to die. If we would take a vote tonight, I'd vote on one of y'all. I wouldn't vote that I'd be the next to die, and I'd soon be 81 years old. But I ain't through yet. Well, see, and I say that, I don't know what I'm talking about. I may not make it till tomorrow. I don't know that. None of us know these things. We may not. We don't know. We can't guarantee. But one thing we can guarantee, there's eternity when we leave here. You're not just dead and the worm's going to eat you. Your soul. And this is what God was telling Ezekiel. You got a responsibility. And that I failed in so many years in my life. I wish I could come and tell you that when I got saved, that from that day on I walked with God. I didn't. I walked a while, and then money and some other things began to take over. And I became one of the biggest failures you've ever seen. And it had been 1 month short of 50. I drove into Odessa, Texas, a drunk. Gone through another bad divorce. And I don't know if the divorce caused me to lose a good company or losing a good company caused a divorce. And it doesn't make any difference. I was on bottom. And I know we say there's only one way to go when you get on bottom. No, ma'am. We don't go, ma'am. Hey. No, ma'am. We're closed. But the truth of the matter is, I did not feel good about that at all. And if somebody had walked up to me and said, Leland, you're getting ready to start the greatest years of your life, I'd laughed in their face. I had nothing. I rented the smallest U-Haul trailer you could rent in Houston, Texas, and it rattled all the way out here because I couldn't fill it up. I had two hard objects in it. It had a microwave and a TV, and everything else was clothes and that type of thing. But God got my attention. And God got my attention through prison. Not me. I'm going in and talking to the prisoners, which I didn't want to do. And for 6 years, they trained me. I'm telling you. But when we get together, we'll never have this group again. And this is serious business. We can laugh, we can joke, and I love to have a good time, and I'm a tease. But I know this. One of these days, I'm going to stand before God. And he won't ask me, did you help Joe get a job? He'll ask me, did you tell Joe about my son? You tell Bill about it? Did you tell Susie about it? Or were you ashamed? Did you talk about something else? Did you talk about church? Did you talk about this or that? Morals? Or did you talk about politics? Turn with me back to this Psalms 139, and notice the very first verse. He said, O Lord, this is the Psalm of David, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. That's kind of scary. God said, I know you. God said, I know what you're doing. I know why you're doing it. And I know what you're thinking about while you're doing it. I know you. Verse 4 said, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Verse 7 says, whither shall I go from their spirit? You're not going to get away. God's Holy Spirit will speak to you tonight. He may convict you of your lifestyle. He may convict you of the sin of unbelief. But you're not going to get away from God. You can get away from me, you can get away from everybody else, but you're not going to get away from God. And he will deal with each of us in our own way. We might call it conscience. We might call it guilt. We might call it a lot of different things. But really what it is God saying, hey, he's knocking on your door. Then notice that God is everywhere. We read that, whether I go, whether shall I go from thy spirit, whether shall I flee from thy presence. It ain't going to happen. Notice verse 8. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Hell and heaven are places. They're not figments of your imagination. They're not some idea. I don't care what Pope said. Don't care what Billy Graham said. God said they are places. There's a real heaven. There's a real place that we will spend eternity. Eternity is just like it was when God said, let there be light. It's got two compartments. Heaven, hell. Doesn't have three, doesn't have four. None of it's been air conditioned. Heaven, hell. And that's it. Then starting in about verse 13, he said, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Even though we're born in sin, nothing is as unique as the human body. Nothing is as unique as human. You can reason, you can think. Animals can't do that. Plants can't do that. But people can. There's nothing more fascinating. And look down here then in verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. That's kind of a unique word, isn't it? Usually what we say is, I know I'm not perfect. And that really surprises folks. Because everybody thought you were. But God uses this word, unique word, only time it's used in the Bible, unperfect. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. There's a baby in the womb. Not a fetus, a baby. And I, once again, don't care what the law says. Don't care about women's rights here. It's amazing. We look at women's rights and don't worry about the baby's rights. And so we live in a nation that's killed millions of babies. But because some judges said that's okay, God may have a difference of opinion on this. Because the God of the Bible controls everything. And even though he's not moving maybe as quick as we'd like for him to, maybe he didn't jump out there. But if you notice this, and if you've been in Ector County, you've noticed this, that justice doesn't move very quick. I mean, not only, you're going to be there a while even to, just to get to the court. It's amazing. We can tie up people for a year and then say, well, you're innocent, I guess. Go on. Justice is pretty slow. God doesn't move in a hurry like we'd like for him to sometimes. Even when, notice verse 20, he said, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. God knows his friends. God knows his enemies. God knows the past. God knows the future. The God of this Bible can handle all those things. He knows everything. And then I like the last two verses. Here's what David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Are you willing to let God do that? To search you? To try your heart? Because I know this, if I tell God that, I'm getting ready for a rude awakening. I can con you, and you can con me. I can look good, and you can look good. We can go through the motions of helping people, but God knows whether we're helping them because we want to help people, or are we helping them to get attention? Are we helping them to get a plaque? Are we helping them to say you're the citizen of the year? Are we helping them to get votes as politicians? Maybe we want to run for something. Whatever the case may be, God knows heart. David said, search me. That takes some guts. Try me. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. And God does. We can open our Bible. I was told tonight about a guy that sits in front of one of the stores reading his Bible so people come by and give him money. I said, man, isn't that great? Well, he better use that money good, because he ain't getting no more when he meets God. He knows our motive. Why do we do what we do? And I'm going to tell you, lots of things I haven't done was because I didn't want to pay the price for doing them. I came through that age. When I graduated from college, I did not know one person that used drugs. And I knew all the ruffians in town. But I didn't know, because we didn't have it back then. We didn't have marijuana. That was something totally different. I go back a long way. But then after that, the reason I never did use drugs, and I can't say I never did, but the reason I didn't make any practice that, because I knew this. They put you in jail for that. I could get a ticket for drinking. You just pay an attorney and move on. But drugs, we had people that wasn't familiar with them. I was at a party one night, a Christmas party for a title company, and one of the ladies worked for the title company. She said, I knew times were rough, and it was back when financial times were rough. And she said, I knew Joe was having a real hard time financially, but she said, do you realize that he's having to roll his own cigarettes? Now, some of you young people don't know that they used to roll cigarettes. I mean, real cigarettes. Not just the kind you roll. But she said, it was so good. She said, I was really proud of him because he shared it with everybody. Right, yeah. Those were different times. Today, those things are everywhere. But God knows our thoughts. What we're into. See if there be any wickedness in me, David said. Are you willing to let God look you over and be your judge? That's what David said. And then he said, lead me in the way everlasting. In order for God to lead, what do you and I got to do? Follow. He can't lead us if we won't follow. I want you, if you would, take a little mental inventory for a moment. I want you to take a little spiritual inventory. And say to God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try him and know my thoughts and see if there be any wickedness in me. And then if you're willing to follow, can you say, lead me in the way everlasting? Won't you bow your heads for a moment? Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would. You're here tonight. For whatever reason. Maybe it's because you had to come. Maybe it's because this was a better alternate than staying where you were. Maybe you came for the refreshments. Maybe you came to flirt. Maybe you came to visit. Whatever, it doesn't make any difference. You're here. But let me ask you this. Are you God's child? Have you asked him into your heart? Are you willing to say, try me and know my thoughts? Are you willing to open up to Him? Now the thing about it, it's voluntary as far as you're concerned. God already knows that. We're not going to hide anything from Him. But would you say to Him tonight, Lord, lead me. I'm willing to follow you. Lead me to the way everlasting. You're here tonight. You've never trusted Jesus Christ. And you'd say, Leland, pray for me. I want to be saved. I'm tired of where I am. On the outside, I look good. On the inside, I'm miserable. I want to have peace and happiness and joy that only Jesus can give. Pray for me that I can have that tonight. Would you just slip your hand up? I see your hands. God bless you. You slip them up, slip them back down. God bless you. Nobody looking around. Anybody else real quick? Say, Leland, pray for me. God bless you. I see your hand. Yes, and yours, son. Anyone else? Yes, I see yours, son, and yours, sir. Yes. Our Heavenly Father. Man, these hands went up all over this place, Father. Men, women, different ages, different problems. But Father, tonight, you promised to solve every one of them. You've promised to lead to everlasting life. You said in your Bible that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not the mouth, but with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. So Father, tonight, give those that have taken that first step of raising their hand.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.